Good morning. Let us enter into our time of worship as we hear the prelude this morning. Welcome all of you this morning on this glorious Lord's Day, and we celebrate our upcoming revival services, and we welcome this morning Brother Jim Meyer, who is here from White Oak Church of the Brethren. He's going to be our revival speaker this week, and on that note, we hope that you can come out this evening for a love feast and communion. Brother Jim is going to be leading us tonight for our Love Feast and Communion. Announcements for this week, we have revival services Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Hope that you can come out for these services. Very important time in the life of the church with spiritual renewal services. One announcement I have. The praise team is going to be practicing tomorrow at 6:15 p.m. To prepare for the special music on tomorrow night for revival service. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Let us stand by turning in your hymnals to number 88. There is a fountain, and if you're able, please stand as we sing this to the Lord.
Broadcast
join me in the responsive call to worship. The Lord says to us, "A new heart I will give to you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your flesh the heart of stone, and will put my spirit within you." We come to worship, to open our hearts, to receive the living God. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart, and so is justified, and he confesses with his lips, and so is saved. Lord, hear our hearts, heal, renew, refresh, enliven us from within, make our hearts your home. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart is to will one thing. Our chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have created. Lord, every day is a good creation that you have made. We thank you for this gathering this morning, and we pray for those, Lord, who are sick and shut in, who cannot be here this morning. We send your special blessings upon those who are homebound this morning. And we pray, O God, that you would enliven us this morning with your Holy Spirit as we hear the message this morning to prepare us for our revival services. May each one of us, Lord, be revived. We pray that we would, that you would open up our hearts and open up our eyes to witness what you're going to do in our lives and in this church here. We thank you and praise you for all, for who you are, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ, who came to forgive our sins and to become our Savior. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward for the children's story.
Good morning. Good morning. There you go. That's more like it. How is everybody today? Good? Yeah. Okay. Oh, look. We got a sweet new addition. Hi there, my friends. All right. Brooke is going to start out. She is going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1.
Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children.
So the Bible says we're supposed to imitate God and be like him, right? Right? What? Yes. What was it, Clark? Be like God. We need to imitate him. We need to do like what he does. Okay, so to illustrate that, we're going to pretend we're certain animals. What do you think? Okay, so stand up. Now, how does a chicken act? Can you show me how a chicken act? There you go. There you go. Now, how do chickens walk? How do they walk? You got it. You're strutting yourself. There you go. Then you do it. Okay. Now, next animal, a monkey. There you go. Clark has it down. Back row has it. There we go. Okay. What do monkeys eat?
Bananas.
Bananas. Eat your banana. You gonna peel it?
No. I don't think they know how to peel.
You don't think they know how to peel? Do they just chomp it down, you think? There you go. Chomp down your bananas. Okay, good. Now, bears. Can you act like a bear? There you go. Peyton has it. Dan has it. Carter, Clark have it. Brayden, what about you? Where's your bear? There you go. Benji, Will, you got a bear? Can you do the bear walk? You know how to do it?
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. In a ladylike way, right, Ella? There's our bear walks. All right, let's get over here back into our circle. Good job imitating. So, What are some things that God would say? What would God do? He takes care of people. You are correct.
Thank you.
He says thank you. Yes, he's very polite, isn't he?
He's really nice.
He's really nice. Uh-huh. Even when people are being mean to him, right?
Yeah.
Yes, and he's still nice to them, isn't he? He still shows them love, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he still loves people that still die.
Yep, he does. And what are some things that God would do? What would he do to people?
Help them.
Help them, uh-huh. If he sees somebody in trouble, take care. Yeah, I think we said that earlier, too. Mm-hmm. How about if you see somebody fall down, would he help you get up?
Yeah.
Does he share?
Yeah.
Would he share with people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he would. He gives food. Yes, he does.
He
gives us water. He takes care of chickens and sheep.
Yes, and cows.
And cows. Pigs, too. You are right. Uh-huh. So not just, and chickens. So not just people. He takes care of animals, too, right? Yes, he does. Okay. So listen up. God tells us about love in the Bible. We can imitate God and tell others that God cares for us by giving us family, friends, our church, right? Yes, but he rose from the dead, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He did that for us. And we can tell others about that, too. We can imitate God. He did die for us. And we can imitate God by being like God, right? By helping others and caring for others. Now, in Hebrews 6:18, it says that God always tells the truth. We can trust that he'll keep his promises. God will never mislead us or trick us. God never lies, right? Right. He tells the truth, so we can believe in God no matter what he says. Yes, you can, honey. He can make the waves and the wind go high. You are correct. Okay, he does control the earth. Very good. All right, so we're going to do a little activity. All right, raise your arms up in the sky. Always imitate God. That's what that means. All right. Put your hands down. Make a Bible. Tell others about the Bible and what it says. Good job, honey. All right, now hug a friend. There you go. Treat others with love and care. Put your finger to your mouth. Put your finger to your mouth. Some might say that means be quiet, but it also means don't lie. So don't lie. You got to remember that. And then a thumbs up. Always tell the truth, right? Yes. So remember, what was it? Always imitate God. Tell others about the Bible. What was next?
No.
Don't lie. Which means always tell the truth. Very good. Oh, and yes, we forgot the hugging, which was treat others the way you want to be treated and show them love, just like God would. Okay, let's pray together. You ready? Let's pray. Dear God, you are good and loving. Help all of us imitate you in all our words and actions. Amen. All right. Everybody can go back and have a seat. Good job, buddy, buddy.
This time. time, the senior choir is going to sing a song, and this is in honor of tonight, our Love Feast and Communion service. The name of the song is Remember Me.
Thank you.
At this time, if we want to turn to our bulletins or on the screen, and let's read together in unison the offertory prayer as we prepare our hearts for our offering. Let us pray. Dear God, as we dedicate our commitment to you, we dedicate our lives to you, we dedicate our trust in you, we dedicate our time to you, and we dedicate our money to you. Help us to know that you will always provide for our needs. Forgive us for not trusting you. We give our commitment card to you this day. Thank you for being our God. Amen. Yes, this morning if you have your commitment cards, we ask that you either put them on an offering plate, or if you want to make a dedication to the Lord, you can bring them forward. Each one of us will be making this pledge privately between ourselves and God, between your family and God. We want to make this an act of faith between yourself and your Lord. So let us prayerfully consider what we will pledge to give to the Lord and to the church. This time, the children can go to Children's Church, and our offertory hymn is Victory in Jesus, and the ushers can come forward as we give our offerings this morning.
Oh,
This time, the senior choir will be singing the song, Are You Dressed for the Wedding?
A good hymn to get us ready for the wedding, get us ready for a revival, and we better be ready to go because it's going to happen one of these days. Thank you for that inspirational number. I'm pleased to be here to be a part of the revival services here at the Myers-Tyron Church of the Brethren. I'm a strong believer in revival. I'm a strong believer in the need for renewal in our Christian life. I realize that we very easily get into ruts and we get into the mundane of life, and it's important to be stirred up occasionally and renew our relationship with Jesus and renew our relationship with each other. Churches don't have very long revival meetings anymore. I guess we get revived much quicker than other years. Rufus Booker was an old-fashioned preacher from McKenny Grove years ago. He had a very heavy Dutch accent, and he used to say he prefers a three-week revival. He said it takes 1 week to warm up the evangelist, and then 1 week to warm up the local church, and then 1 week to warm up the sinners. Well, we do it much quicker today. I want to invite you to these services. Tonight is Love Feast. I want to say a word about tomorrow night's subject. I never preached on that subject before. Did you read what it is? Anybody knows what Monday night's sermon title is? Why George Goes to Church. You have a little assignment between now and Monday evening to figure out who George is. You can read that scripture that's attached to it. I'm not sure that's going to give it away. But before I preach the sermon Monday night, I'm going to ask if anybody has figured out who George is. I've decided that as a kind of overall theme for these meetings that we're going to use changed lives. And you know, that's very much a part of the gospel message. Lives being changed. The Bible is full of lives of people who were changed by the gospel. Lives being changed, that's what God is all about. If you were here for Sunday school, I suppose you studied the fall back in the Garden of Eden. Well, that's what got us all into trouble. But then Jesus came into the world as the last Adam, and he gets us out of trouble. And that's why we can be thankful that in the gospel message, changed lives is a very important and prominent thought. Not only is God interested in changed lives, but Jesus is interested in changed lives. And that's why our salvation is centered in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is interested in changed lives. That's why he helps us to be sanctified and to be made holy. The theme verse is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Could that be put up on the screen? I want us to memorize that that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Do we have that up on the screen? Okay. We'll give 1 second. Now, don't blame me for the 1 second at the end of the sermon, though. Okay, this is the King James Version. Let's say it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, in your bulletin this morning, there's a verse of scripture. I think it's from Jeremiah, perhaps, that God is interested in giving us a new heart and enabling us to live a new life. The scripture this morning is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 5, the first 16 verses. Before we get to that, I want to ask you, do you remember what you were doing in 1980? You say 1980. That's 38 years ago. Well, there's a man in this lesson this morning who was lying at a pool of Bethesda for 38 years, hoping to be made whole. The past few weeks, we've been listening to the hearings, and people have been trying to remember what happened 36 years ago. And it didn't seem like they remembered very well, or, well, that's enough comment on that. Chapter 5 from St. John's Gospel says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered and said, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then they asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was that had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. What a great gospel account of a changed life. It took a long time. Sometimes when we have doctor's offices, waiting room experiences, we think it takes a long time to see the doctor. Sometimes it takes a long time to check out at a grocery store. Sometimes it seems like a long time to wait at a red light. We don't like to wait, do we? We like things to move on. We like the next scene to come before us. Well, this man lay at this pool. By the way, the pool of Bethesda is still in the city of Jerusalem. I had the privilege of leading two tours to the Holy Land, and I was impressed, you know, as you walk around the Holy Land, some of the scenes are not very authentic. Some of them are somewhat commercialized. Some of them have been preserved by the Catholic Church, having built a church over top of the scene, and that takes away some of the authenticity of it, but it does help to preserve it. But the Pool of Bethesda is wide open. It's right there next to St. Anne's Church, right in the city of Jerusalem. It's one of the authentic sites. When we were there, there was no water in the pool, and nobody was sitting around. I don't know when it stopped, that an angel would come at a certain season and trouble the waters. And God must have been in this. I don't know that the Bible ever explains it, really. But when an angel would trouble the water, whoever could get into the water first was healed. There was a lot of anticipation. You didn't know when it was going to happen. It was not like take a number and you'll get your turn. You lay there because you were unable to move very well. You were sick, you were impotent, maybe you were blind. Maybe you had hip problems. I have a little bit of a hip problem. I guess you were told I had hip surgery 6 weeks ago, and I told the doctor I have to do some preaching. He didn't seem to be concerned about that. He said, you need a hip surgery or a back surgery. So I'm still recovering. You notice I lean a little in the pulpit. I'll try not to knock it over. I've been warned this pulpit isn't very stable. I'm sure if I do knock it over, at least I'll have the attention of my audience. Well, 38 years is a long time. I didn't have to wait very long, just a couple weeks for my appointment. And now I have to be patient for healing to be complete. But this place, full of people, I imagine it looked like what things look like if you walk down a retirement home in the nursing center or in a hospital. And the beds are full of people who need help physically, all kinds of help. It's been hard, a part of the human experience here on earth. We are headed for a place, you know. That's why we're to get dressed for the wedding. We're heading for a place where we're not going to be sick, hallelujah, where we're not going to visit the doctors, and we're not going to have pain, and no more sickness, and no more pain or death. Our lives are going to be eternally changed one of these days. No more to be reminded of the curse that came as a result of the fall way back in the Garden of Eden. Well, a description of this place is given in verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. Those five porches are still there. Stone or concrete porches. I don't know what a descriptive brochure would have looked like for this place. I guess we have reasonable year-round rates. We have positive experiences occasionally. You can come and occupy a seat. We have no guarantee that you will be the next one into the pool, but take your chances. And a lot of people did. A lot of people who were impotent, blind, lame, and so on were lying by the Pool of Bethesda. Along comes Jesus. He doesn't need to wait for a certain season. He doesn't have to even have to wait for a revival meeting to save people. We have special times when we encourage people to make decisions for Christ. That has kind of settled down into revival meeting time, but you don't have to wait for revival meeting time. You don't need to wait for a visiting evangelist to come and preach a gospel sermon. Jesus is available all the time. Hallelujah. Jesus is ready now to save. Jesus is waiting to help. He's gone back, and one of the reasons he's gone back to heaven is so the Holy Spirit might be sent into the world, so that the Holy Spirit can be everywhere and can be calling men and women, boys and girls, all the time to follow him as our Savior and Lord. And Jesus says to this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Wow, what a day that was. I think he had this man's attention. The man said, "Yeah, I've been waiting here a long time, but nobody helps me into the pool." And you know, that kind of troubles me. Where were the people around that could have helped him? We have a lot of people that help us in our time. You know, I look into my telephone book and I see all kinds of people that help me. I've been a farmer all my life, and I've had to rely on a lot of people. I just went to our phone book and I just jotted down all the people that have helped me over the years. Neighbor boys, repairmen, electricians, harvesters, insurance people, healthcare people, doctors, dentists, pharmacies, airport, cattle medicine, veterinarians. If they don't help, butchers, hospitals, banks, farm equipment dealers, seed suppliers, fertilizer dealers, chemical suppliers, attorneys, restaurants, feed mills, cattle auctions, building suppliers, family, friends, church leaders, fellow Christians. And if all that fails, I still have Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will help thee." I've had to wonder, where were the deacons? That's one of the works of a deacon, to be a helper. Where were this man's relatives? Where were his friends? Why couldn't he be helped into the pool? You know, I've never felt totally helpless like this man was. There's always somebody can help. I feel for this man. I don't even know how to identify with him, really, because I was never forsaken by my parents. I've always been surrounded by a loving family. I was able to work and begin to earn money when I was just a boy. I used to catch muskrats, and I raised ducks and any little thing I could do to earn a little money. I was taught by my parents to start tithing and giving a portion of my income when I was just a boy. I'm blessed to be a part of a loving church. I've never had a life-threatening disease. Whatever health issues I've had, there's always one more pill to help me out. Yes, I can't understand. I think if I had been this man, I would have tried to figure something out around this pool to get me in. I think I would have tried to mount a sliding board somewhere and mount a mattress on it and a ripcord. And when the angel came down the next time, pull the ripcord and into the pool. But this man couldn't be helped. Some people are seriously unable to be helped. I read something sort of interesting. A heavily booked commercial flight out of Denver, Colorado, was canceled, and a single agent was rebooking a long line of inconvenienced travelers. Suddenly, an angry passenger pushed his way to the front and slapped his ticket down on the counter. "I have to be on this flight, and it has to be first class," he insisted. "I'm sorry, sir," the agent replied. "I'll be happy to help you, but I have to take care of these folks first. The passenger was unimpressed. "Do you have any idea who I am?" he demanded in a voice loud enough for the passengers behind him to hear. Without hesitating, the gate agent smiled and picked up her public address microphone. And throughout the terminal, she said, "May I have your attention, please?" She broadcast throughout the terminal, "We have a passenger here at gate number 10 who does not know who he is." If anyone can help, please come to gate number 10. You know, I heard another story about a politician who was being honored for his long years in government. They were having a farewell dinner for him. He was seated at the head table, and he looked around at the beginning of the banquet, and he called the server over and said, "I noticed that at my plate there is only one pat of butter, and I really like butter in my bread. Could you bring me some more butter?" The waiter said, "Well, I have orders to just put one pat at everybody's plate." He said to her, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "I'm the congressman that's being honored tonight for my long years in government. I would like to have more butter." She said to him, "Do you know who I am?" "No." "Well, I'm in charge of the butter, and you're only getting one pat." I guess that put him in his place. "But I am really troubled about why no one helped this man. You know, there's an area of life where no one can help us. No one can help us in the areas of salvation. Jesus Christ alone is the only one who can help us to be saved eternally. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And what good news that is, that the availability of people being changed and experiencing changed lives is very much available to us. We need to be people of hope. We need to be thinking about a brighter tomorrow. I picked out an illustration from a church newsletter. I can't verify that it's true, but it's about a pastor who lived across the street from his church. He was going over to the church again on Saturday morning, and he noticed again, after several days, that a kitten had climbed up the tree in front of his house. The kitten wouldn't come down. He had tried to lure the kitten down a number of times, and it wouldn't come down. And here it was Saturday morning. That kitten was still up in that little strapling of a tree. It was too small for anyone to climb or even support a ladder. And there that kitten was again. He didn't know. All of a sudden, he thought of another plan, and he went into the garage, got his car out, and backed his car up to the tree and hooked a rope between the bumper and the tree and got into his car and began to pull forward slowly and looking in his rearview mirror, and the tree was bending over, and he thought he'd soon be able to pick the kitten off, and got closer and closer, and all of a sudden the rope snapped and the tree slung back and cat flew off over top of the house to the backyard. Took the rope back into the garage in the car and went around front, couldn't find the cat. In a puzzled way, he went over to the church and completed his preparations for the service next morning. The next morning, during the time of sharing, his neighbor lady on the other side of the street in front of the house got up during a time of sharing and said, "You know, I have an amazing story to tell. Most of you know that I hate cats. And some of you know that our little girl has been begging for a cat. She's been doing this for a long time, and yesterday morning she was at it again, and finally I said to her, look, why don't you go back in the bedroom and kneel down beside your bed, and you pray to Jesus for a cat, and if he wants you to have a cat, you'll get one. And you wouldn't believe this, she went back and prayed, came out the front door, and there fell a kitten out of heaven. You know, the faith of a little child sometimes is needed to teach us to have hope that there are better days ahead, that answers are around the corner, that Jesus still loves us. He wants to forgive us. He wants to make us a part of his family. He wants us, every one of us, to be another little link in the long, long story of changed lives for the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus, for that hope. Let's pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the hope of the gospel. We love this account in the 5th chapter of John. A man, 38 years waiting, but finally it happened. Finally the answer came. Oh God, teach us to be patient when it's necessary to wait. But then teach us to not wait when it's necessary to respond. And this morning, it's time for us to respond. We want to reach out. We want to be a part of that long, long story of changed lives for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a closing hymn. We'll consider this a hymn of invitation. We'll stand together and sing this hymn. Someone feels led to make a decision for Christ or to come for prayer or whatever your needs, we invite you to come forward as we stand together and sing.
Before we have our benediction, I just want to remind you to look at the bulletin for the ones in the prayer list. Keep all those names in prayer this for the week. Also, our church of the week that we're praying for with the district is the Littlesville Tower Church, so keep the Littlesville Tower Church in prayer for our church that we're praying for the week, and the Providence Church of the Brethren is praying for us. And I want to thank Brother Jim for the message this morning, and remember to do your homework, which is to figure out who George is. Is it George Washington?
No hints.
No hints. Why George goes to church? It should be interesting. So anyway, our benediction, number 6, 24 to 26. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.